the beautiful brochures letting us know about this novena, which I believe you have in the pews or available to you as you enter the church, speak of the theme of the novena. And it's a very good theme for Lent as well. It reminds us of God's hunger for us to fall ever more deeply in love with us, if that were ever possible, and our hunger for Him, that we may fall ever more deeply in Him, with Him, and we know that is possible. That theme of hunger reminds me of an experience I had not too long ago when I was at a meeting in a town that I don't often travel to, and I stopped in a sandwich shop to get some lunch. When I finished the sandwich and was ready to pay, the waitress came over, and she said, "You're not paying for your sandwich today." I said, "Oh, that's very nice. Is the person that's paying for it here in the sandwich shop so I can thank them?" And she said, "No, I am paying for your sandwich." The waitress said that. I said, "Gosh, I'll leave you a very nice tip." She said, "I don't want a tip. This is all on me." When I travel, I usually travel with my collar. I said, "May I ask your name?" She said, "My name is Betty." I said, "Betty, is there anything I can do for you?" She said, "Yes. Please pray that I find a man so I can quit this job." That really happened. And what also really happened is that unexpectedly I went back to that same town, and of course I had to go back to the same sandwich shop. Betty was not there. I can't say that it was for my prayers that she wasn't there. Maybe she did find a man, or at least a better job. What's important about all that is that we have found a man. That's why we're here. And who is that person that we found? Jesus. We have found Jesus. And even better, He has found us. He has found us. And you know, when we look for Jesus, we don't have to look very far. It's true that He's in heaven. But even more closely to us, is He present? Because He dwells in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we pray, we're not praying just to a God who is in heaven, Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer, the Lord. We're praying to Him who, by the power of the Holy Spirit, lives in our hearts. How much closer can He get than that? And so that should really give us great hope, as we begin this season of Lent and begin with this powerful prayer, 9-day prayer period, which we call the Novena of Grace. Now, we all want during this time to let that indwelling of the Lord be something that is ever more authentic, that we can live out ever more truly what is the very truth of our lives. There's no greater truth in our lives than the fact that Jesus dwells in our hearts by faith, and especially by baptism and all the sacraments that can follow from baptism. So Jesus looks to us, and He's here to help us during Lent to live out ever more authentically that indwelling that began with our baptism. And that's why this period of Lent, these 40 days, really are pointing us to the Easter Vigil and to Easter Sunday, when we will all renew our baptismal vows, and when at the Easter Vigil, those who have not been baptized, called catechumens, receive baptism and are confirmed and receive Eucharist for the first time. And those who have been baptized in another Christian church and want to be received into the Catholic Church, as we say, in full communion, they also receive confirmation and the Eucharist. But really, these 40 days are a time for us to celebrate that indwelling of the Lord in our hearts, and to try to live out ever more authentically that presence. Because we are sinners. But you know, we are beloved sinners. We are not those sinners that Jesus pushes away. We are those sinners that Jesus embraces. That's the beautiful meaning of Jesus on the cross with His arms outspread. It's true that he was nailed to the cross in that position, but that position also helps us to understand that he embraces all of us and the whole world. So this season of Lent, these 40 days, are a time for us to renew that indwelling and to be ever more grateful for our baptism, so that we can renew with greater truth those promises that were made for us perhaps by our parents, but that we have renewed many times since then. It's so wonderful to see families here with small children that bring their children even at this young age, so that they begin to, in their own childlike way, to understand that this is something important. Ash Wednesday, Lent. They'll all be wondering, what does that mean to have that black mark on mom and dad's forehead, and maybe on their own? And so, let's look forward to these 40 days of Lent as a preparation for the great feast of Easter, and renew in our hearts that desire that we have to live out ever more authentically the reality of that indwelling, and be grounded in hope, because that reading from Job and the reading from 2 Corinthians, as hard as they are in many ways, really open hope for us, just as the reading from the Gospel does, because the last line of this reading from the Gospel is, "Your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." Lent is a season of great hope. How many of you here know the date when you were baptized? Raise your hand. A handful. Okay, all right. How many of you here know the name of the priest who baptized you? Oh, okay, there you go. We're all baptized as adults or what? So the name of the priest who baptized us and the date of our baptism is something that I'm giving you as a homework assignment, okay? We all celebrate our birthday, no problem about that. All the candles and out to dinner or whatever. Shouldn't we celebrate even more the date of our spiritual birth, our baptism? That's a great event. And of course it's important to know the day we were born. But the day we were baptized, now some of you who are married may have a copy of your baptismal certificate at home or in some safety deposit box somewhere, and you can look that up. And those of you who are parents who are here with your children, you certainly have a copy of their baptismal certificate, and you can begin to encourage them to be happy about the date when they were baptized and to thank God for the priest or the deacon or the bishop or any other person that may have baptized them. There's a wonderful little book written by Blessed John Paul II, who will be canonized in a very few weeks. It's called Crossing the Threshold of Hope, and I recommend it to you. It's very easy reading. And there's one line in it that has really struck me, and it stayed with me for quite a while ever since I read it. And the Pope said, "To be the Pope is a marvelous grace and a great responsibility. To be a bishop is a wonderful blessing. Far greater than both is to be baptized." Far greater. Write Pope Francis and tell him, you're far greater than he is. Far greater than me, bishop, you have been baptized. Let that sink in during these 40 days and during this 9-day novena as well, of how important that is. And let that be then a cause for us to yearn, to hunger, even to sense that we would perish if we didn't let that indwelling of Christ in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit really navigate our lives, really direct them, really help us to aim ever more truly at the heart of Christ and his great love, so that we may return that love to him and to all those that we are called to love as he loves them. My friend found a man, maybe. We found a man for darn sure.